Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Does science back the COVID-19 vaccine booster shots? Dr. Marty McCary, surgical oncologist and chief of the Johns Hopkins University Transplant Center on Fox News, says maybe not for younger people.
Well, some new data came out actually this week suggesting that boosters really did almost nothing to reduce severe illness in younger people. And that makes sense. They have a stronger, more robust response to the vaccine. And many FDA officials have signaled that they're okay with boosters for high-risk populations, the elderly, but not with the general public. They're going to meet tomorrow, and we're going to hear what they have to say, but it appears that they're not that enthusiastic about boosters for the general population, which is why two of them left in frustration, that they feel they were pressured by the White House, that there was an announcement before the FDA did their normal process.
President Biden this afternoon from the East Room will deliver remarks on America's inflation woes. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
With no thanks to the State Department, extraction flights are continuing out of Afghanistan. John Clemens from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
After admitting they were not able to get everyone out of Afghanistan, private groups stepped in to save as many as possible from the Islamic extremists. State Department spokesman Ned Price now claims many of the religious, veteran groups, and wealthy Americans are coordinating their efforts with the State Department.
When it comes to the various groups, and certainly veterans groups have played an important and welcome role in this, but other advocacy groups, humanitarian groups, lawmakers, NGOs, private companies, media organizations have come to the support of the people of Afghanistan, and that is certainly something that this department is playing a leading role in coordinating.
Congress is fast approaching the deadline to raise its tax ceiling or risk default on the nation's debt. Since 1960, Congress has acted 78 times to revise the debt limit. USA Radio News.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Olympic gymnast Simone Biles and other female athletes told lawmakers Wednesday how the FBI and U.S. gymnastic and Olympic officials failed to stop the sexual abuse that she and hundreds of other athletes suffered from former doctor and convicted sex offender Larry Nassar.
In May of 2015, Rhonda Fahan, the former head of USA Gymnastics women's program, was told by my friend and teammate, Maggie Nichols, that she suspected I, too, was a victim. I didn't understand the magnitude of what all was happening until the Indianapolis Star published its article in the fall of 2016, entitled, Former USA Gymnastics Doctor Accused of Abuse. Yet while I was a member of the 2016 U.S. Olympic team, neither USAG, USOPC, nor the FBI ever contacted me or my parents. While others had been informed and investigations were ongoing, I had been left to wonder why I was not told until after the Rio Games. This is the largest case of sexual abuse in the history of American sport. And although there have been a fully independent investigation of the FBI's handling of the case, neither USAG nor USOPC have ever been made the subject of the same level of scrutiny. These are the entities entrusted with the protection of our sport and our athletes, and yet it feels like questions of responsibility and organizational failures remain unanswered.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It's what we do, and we thank you for being a part of the solution and not adding to the problem. We got enough problems to deal with already, and we need help. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here, and got a beautiful story to share with you. And the title of the book is called Beautiful Country. And we have the author with us. She's an Ivy League graduate, an attorney, New York Times, Washington Post op-ed writer. And with these credentials, you may be surprised to learn that Keon Jolie Wong is, she grew up undocumented. And hers is a story of undocumentation, a long journey. But, you know, as you just heard me say, through this journey, she's an Ivy League graduate, now an attorney, and she's a op-ed writer for the New York Times and Washington Post. So she's going to fill in the blanks and take us through this journey, because her story is like so many others who have had to operate in the darkness, in the shadows of our country, because of them being undocumented. And we're not just talking people from, you know, China, it's all over the world that have come into this country that is that light of freedom to a oppressed and freedomless world that hopes upon hope that they may find it here. And you cannot understand and appreciate the desperation. I mean, you may think about it and casually say, well, I can kind of relate. I would think that, you know, for my children, if I was in the same situation where I make that decision, you've heard me relate to you as a Hispanic. I'm often getting a lot of heat, you know, from fellow Hispanics that say, Bill, why aren't you more sympathetic? And I think I'm extremely sympathetic. What I think is, how come they're not sympathetic to realize that in some cases you've got young girls that are leaving their homes 2,500 miles away to the south of us and their father? And if you understand the Hispanic culture, you've got to realize how heart-wrenching this is, that the father has to give birth control pills to their young daughter, their 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old daughter, and say, here, take these. And they say, why? Well, these are birth control pills. These are keep you from being pregnant. Well, what do you mean keep me from being pregnant? I barely know about sex. Well, you're going to find out about sex here very quickly, and we want to make sure that you don't get pregnant, so make sure you take these birth control pills. Can you imagine a father having that kind of discussion with their young daughter, but for the sake of desperation and all that, maybe their last hope, they send their daughter on a 2,500-mile journey to come to America in hopes that hope they might get the golden ticket. Well, our next guest tells her story, Keon Jolie Wong. And Keon, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Bill. Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, yours is quite the journey. And would you say that for the undocumented, for those that operate in the shadows, that are forced to be, and this is at the very heart of who I am, and I hope you can connect with this, is that I don't want any human being to be considered less than. And particularly here in the United States, for all that what we represent, to have anybody here in this country to think that they need to operate in the shadows and be less than, there's just something at its very foundation is so wrong on so many levels. So that's where I'm coming from on this. Is that clear? Does that make sense?
Yes, completely. And that was why I wrote the book. I wanted people to see behind the two-dimensional headlines and the political talking points to the human condition of the undocumented status, what it really means to grow up with the stigma and shame of being told over and over again that you are illegal and relegated to the underclass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and to me, that's just so disgusting. And for you, your parents brought you here, what, you were 8 years old when you came to the United States, right?
I was 7 years old, yes. It was 1994.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us your story about your mom and dad, why they had to leave China and why they came here to the United States, even understanding that they were going to have to operate in the shadows of this country.
My father grew up being labeled as a dissident and a traitor to his country before he even started grade school. And this was because when he was 7 years old, his second oldest brother was 18 years old and wrote a paper criticizing Chairman Mao and the Cultural Revolution, which charged especially its teens, but all of its citizens, to revolt against the intellectuals and the scholars and the professors, often leading to public beatings and killings and suicides. Over the course of a 10-year period, millions were killed or disappeared. And because of this label, my father, from his earliest memories, was subject to public humiliation at school. He was made to stand up in front of the classroom and have teachers and students berate him and his traitorous family. His parents were dragged out to public beatings. Despite all of this, he became an English literature professor. And even in his adulthood, though, he quickly realized that even in that esteemed position and in his own classrooms, he could not be as open and honest about social critique, about his thoughts and views on the government, about encouraging his students to be critical of the government as he was so inspired to do by the works of Dickens and Mark Twain and Ernest Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my parents were very worried that something would happen again where he would say the wrong thing or the wrong fact about his family history would come out. And I myself would be subjected to some of the humiliations and beatings that he himself saw all of his life. So my parents, both being professors, decided that it was safest and best to come to America. And as much as my father was running away from China, he was very much running toward America, which to his eyes to this day is that beacon of hope, that beacon of freedom of speech, of civic engagement, of holding the government accountable. And there was no other country for which he could imagine building a home and a life for his daughter.
Mm-hmm. Kian, it almost seems like he was living in the shadows in China because of the oppression and the ideology that operated there, right?
Yes, and I think this is often missed when people say, well, if we know that being undocumented is so difficult, then we should just make it impossible for undocumented immigration to exist. It really leaves out the realities and truths of the home countries from which these immigrants leave in desperation, as you say. Things were very precarious in China, especially for someone of his background, and there were no guarantees and no feeling of safety. And anyone who's dealt with or experienced intergenerational trauma knows that once you have grown up under that environment and felt the oppression and shame, it's so very easy to kind of pass that feeling down, even regardless of the situation that you are in, but particularly in our case, we just simply found another way of being in the darkness.
Her new book, Struggle to Survive, Beautiful Country, Kianjoli Wong is with us, and we're going to talk more about her story in hopes of advancing some understanding here about those that are in the shadows, even as we talk right now in this free country, the United States of America. I'm Bill Martinez. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay with us. We've got more from Kian after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. That's 855-525-7448.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Hey, we're back with you 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Fresh and independent we are. Bill Martinez here. And we've got Kianjoli Wong and her book, Beautiful Country. Kian, you write in your book that Beautiful Country comes from the interpretation of China's term for America, right?
Yes. The Chinese word, or the Mandarin word, for America is Meiguo, which literally translates into beautiful, the first character, and country, the second character.
Wow. Amazing. And here you are, because of the courage of your parents. I mean, I try to put myself into your parents' shoes and what they had to do, leaving all that they knew and were comfortable with, that they had arrived at some certain level of status in their country, and they forsake that for freedom and the aspirational call of this light on a shining hill, this beautiful country, and they bring their 7-year-old daughter with them in hopes for a better future. And here they are, well accomplished, and now they're coming to a country, they're undocumented, they're in the shadows, and they're accepting any jobs possible. That takes a lot of humility, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think it was much easier for me as a child to adapt to that change, because children necessarily take what is immediately before them and accept that to be the case and just roll with it. Adults, however, have a harder time making that psychological adjustment. My parents were simply remarkable in just doing what they needed to do to feed me and pay rent. But it bears saying that it also speaks to the human condition and its resilience. I think many of us place in that situation of just needing to find every cent available to you would no doubt do the same. It is just this mm-hmm. human need to survive and thrive and take care of one's own.
And from your experience, as we were talking, you said that the majority of people operating in the shadows don't have time to cause trouble. They're so focused on surviving and trying to be that next step for their children to assimilate into America, right?
Absolutely. Looking back on those years, I was terrified of attracting any sort of attention. And the minute I saw someone in uniform, I turned and ran, whether that was a sanitation worker or a police officer. And so I think when you're in that mode and level of survival, you do not have enough bandwidth to do anything nefarious. You're simply focused on keeping your children safe, keeping yourself safe, and hopefully one day making it so you are recognized as an American citizen.
What else? It's here in this book, in your new book, Beautiful Country. Your story and what you want people to take away, you know, from understanding the undocumented individual. I mean, they are a fellow human being, as I said earlier, going through the journey of life. America, you know, on the surface, presents a golden opportunity to realize your dreams. I mean, you are the fulfillment of what your parents could only have hoped for in leaving what they knew, leaving their home country, you know, family members in that, to give you a future and a hope. And you have blessed them through all your hard work and doing what it took in order to arrive to this level of success. And I sense, Keon, in talking to you, that it's not all about you, that the reason you wrote this story is that there's so many other undocumented stories and lives that, need to be appreciated and heard, right?
Yes. I got here not just, and mostly not on merit, on a lot of luck, on the fact that I was lucky to have had parents who were very educated before they immigrated, that I was able to learn English without a hint of an accent, that I was neurotypical and had no disabilities. There was a lot of luck on my side. And I dream of a beautiful country one day where it doesn't require that kind of luck, where being a healthy contributor of American society, being a welcomed member of American society is accorded to human beings who are facing this condition. And part of what my book does, even more than an immigrant narrative, it's a celebration of family, of childhood, of the resilience and strength and joys of the human condition. And my hope for people reading the book is that they realize that we're not that different. I've heard from so many people who have never immigrated, who have never even been to New York City, who are not people of color, who say there's so much of their childhood that they see in this book. And that is because at its core, being undocumented means keeping the central secret about yourself and then thus learning to grow a sense of shame about who you are, and who among us cannot relate to that.
Exactly. Yeah, shame comes in all forms and colors. And, it's part of the human condition. And this is, when we go through our journey of life, fortunately, you've run into some people that have the wisdom and experience to appreciate your story. And as I said, so many other stories that's what motivates. I'm sitting there thinking, in reading your book, I go, what a story, and how many more have yet to be heard here. And in the process of hearing these stories, Keon is coming to a solution here. How can we, as a country, how can we manage this in such a way to where it's win-win for all concerned? Do you have any ideas?
Well, on a very basic day-to-day level, I think that's where we should start, on the things that are easily achievable. And that's for people to recognize that they deal with and see more undocumented people every day than they realize, and to find some shred of empathy within them and understand that they're really not that different. And you can't necessarily spot us, because we, by definition, have to hide who we are. But on a national level, I think that politicians need to really think and talk beyond those debating points, and understand the humanity and human condition, and understand how deeply immigrants of all kinds and colors just want to contribute to their new home, how America is a beacon across the world for refuge for those marginalized and oppressed. And there is a reason that we come here in droves, and how much better our communities could be if we found ourselves a little bit closer to that America that we champion and market ourselves as, and make it more equitable for everyone to access.
Well, I believe, the intent of the Founding Fathers was to celebrate humanity and to elevate humanity to such a level. I mean, it was unheard of that you would have a government of for by the people. Didn't work that way. It was always the kings, right? Kings, czars, and that on top. And here it is now, you got we the people. So it really opened the door for us and to offer us an opportunity of discovery. And I believe what you cite here in Beautiful Country in your book is part and parcel of the condition where the political process has really mired up that process, and it has lessened our humanity. And maybe this is the time, we could only hope that your book and the conversation here would open the door for us to celebrate humanity, not political party and not ideology, but humanity, that's the most important, that if we're honoring each other's humanity, I think the solutions would be a lot different than what we're talking about right now, don't you think?
Definitely, and I think it's important to state that we are all more alike than we are different. And as we get used to, seeing more hungry around us or seeing the homeless on the street, it naturally erodes our own sense of humanity. You cannot be around those who are suffering without you yourself suffering, even if you're not consciously aware of it. And so I hope that this book will recall everybody to that universal human thread.
Amen. Well, I'm with you in that, in partnering to that dream and ideal, Tianjoli Wong, because that ultimate ideal and dream is truly win-win for all concerned, Keon. Again, I cannot thank you enough for writing the book and for coming on the show. The book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Tianjoli Wong, thank you.
According to research, 82% of people remember radio ads. That means that 82% of you listening right now will remember that this is an ad for ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, 82% of you will recall that ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And 82% of you will note that you can try ZipRecruiter for free today. But you have to go to ZipRecruiter.com/find. 82% of you will keep in mind that ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified people for your job and actively invites them to apply.
Scott! Dad, is that you? Who are you talking to?
82% of you will also know that I, live with my mom. But the most important thing to note is that ZipRecruiter works. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Will you be part of the 82% who remember where you can try ZipRecruiter for free? It's ZipRecruiter.com/find. Again, that exclusive link is ZipRecruiter.com/find. That's ZipRecruiter.com/find.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Do science back the COVID-19 vaccine booster shots? Dr. Marty McCary, surgical oncologist and chief of the Johns Hopkins University Transplant Center on Fox News, says maybe not for younger people.
Well, some new data came out actually this week suggesting that boosters really did almost nothing to reduce severe illness in younger people. And that makes sense. They have a stronger, more robust response to the vaccine. And many FDA officials have signaled that they're okay with boosters for high-risk populations, the elderly, but not with for the general public. They're going to meet tomorrow, and we're going to hear what they have to say, but it appears that they're not that enthusiastic about boosters for the general population, which is why two of them left in frustration, that they feel they were pressured by the White House, that there was sort of an announcement before the FDA did their normal process.
President Biden this afternoon from the East Room will deliver remarks on America's inflation woes. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. And we've got Laura Perry joining us. Her new book, Transgender to Transformed, a compelling story, a little background. Laura lived for nearly a decade as a transgender man named Jake before realizing the deception of the transgender lifestyle and leaving it all behind, embracing her true identity as a woman. She shares her story at churches and conferences, in articles and various programs, help others find the same freedom she has. She is on staff with First Stone Ministries in Oklahoma City and has been featured in the AFA documentary In His Image. Laura, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, Laura, yours is a story that people need to hear as we try to understand what, you know, the reality of the transgender lifestyle and influence. Tell us your story.
Yeah, you know, I was the typical kid raised in church, and we were there every time the door was open, and I was raised in Christian school, and, you know, we seemed to have the perfect family, but I, you know, as a little kid, I just had a really misunderstood relationship with my mom. I was very, very close to my dad, but my mom didn't want to spend a lot of time with me, and she would push me away a lot. And, you know, she tells in her own testimony how she was trying so hard to please God in her own flesh by doing a lot of good works and things like that. And she was really just burned out and stressed out. And so I understand her side of it a lot now, but it creates a lot of confusion. And I was very jealous of the relationship my brother had with her. And so I began to fantasize about, you know, maybe mom would love me more if I had been a boy.
Oh, wow.
And really began to act like my brother, to dress like him, to play with his toys, and to want to be around him all the time. And I lived sort of in this fantasy world as a kid. But then as I got a little bit older, and I was also molested when I was 8. So that created a lot of confusion, brought a lot of sexual distortion.
Right.
And, you know, I began experimenting with other kids. And so I was sort of living this secret life. I had this entire fantasy world of me being a boy where I would write stories about being a boy and just lived in this fantasy and then hiding this sexual activity. And so I think, you know, I had this good Christian image and I had said the prayer, I'd been baptized, but I just didn't know the Lord at all. Mm-hmm. And when I got into high school, I really was beginning to be very angry with God. I didn't like the way, you know, I didn't like being a girl. I didn't feel like I had any real worth or value in being a girl. I'd lived in that, with that belief for so long that I wasn't loved as a girl.
Right.
And then when I got into high school and guys were not treating me very well, I was kind of dumped and rejected over and over and mm-hmm. over and over again. So by the, when I was in high school, I told God that I would never serve him again and really just ran away from the faith. I wanted to be the opposite of a Christian, whatever that was,
mm-hmm.
and wanted nothing to do with God or the church. And in college, I just went from one bad relationship to another. I got into more and more sexual sin. And I kept thinking that if I give guys everything they want, then they will love me.
But, right.
They never did. And so I finally remember thinking one day, you know, the reason this never works out, the reason I'm never happy is because I was supposed to be the man. If I was the man, you know, I know how a woman wants to be treated. And so I started playing a lot of like virtual sex games where I was just fantasizing about what if I had been the man. And eventually it drove me so crazy. It was like, I have to do this. I really hadn't even heard the word transgender. In fact, this was mm-hmm. 2007. You know,
right.
We forget like how much the society has changed since then. That's only been a few years. But when I looked up in Google and I found other people that felt like I did, and I found a support group, and I went to the support group, and within 5 minutes they're like, "Oh, you are definitely transgender." You know, I was like, mm-hmm. "I knew it. This explains my whole life." You know,
right.
So, you know, I didn't see any of these reasons from childhood. I just remembered always feeling this way, and so. I decided I just really bought the lie 100% and really believed with all my heart it's who I was. I was absolutely convinced that I was a man trapped in a woman's body, and if I could fix the body, then that was going to fix all my problems, and I would, you know, just ride off into the sunset of complete freedom and happiness. And as I started down that journey, and I started to take all the hormones, and I had made the legal changes with my name, and I had a new job where they were treating me as male, and, you know, with the hormones, I began to grow facial hair. My voice began to get a lot deeper. And, you know, it seems to be real at first, even though, like, there was this war internally of, like, knowing that everything I was doing was fake and it wasn't real. But at the same time, everybody was affirming me and treating me like a man. And it was like, well, one day this is going to be real.
But, yeah, like all of a sudden you're getting acceptance where you didn't have acceptance before, right?
Right.
So this was all playing into the lie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it just said it continually. You know, my parents were the one beacon of truth in my life. They refused to give in, and they were, you know, it really strained the relationship. There were times I would cut them off for months, and I wouldn't talk to them, and then I'd kind of come back. And so our relationship was really pretty bad at that point. But they kind of kept the door open on their end. I know they just kept praying. But like every, you know, each step along the way, God was encountering me, and and even though I wanted nothing to do with God, I know he was answering their prayers. There were so many dreams he would give me, and just times that he would bring other people into my life, or he would put, you know, gospel tracks left on my car, or, but there were just times he just directly encountered me, and I knew he was pursuing me, but I didn't want anything to do with him because I wanted to become a man. And I knew this wasn't God's will. I knew I was living in sin, but I really believed it was what was going to bring me happiness. And so, and finally in 2009, I had, an outpatient double mastectomy and had, the kind of a male chest. They did a little bit of plastic surgery to really make it look like a male chest. And this made me legally male. And it was like, this is the greatest thing ever. You know, it was everything I've ever wanted. And I was just on cloud nine. But then a few weeks later, I began to realize that I was actually really depressed because even though I liked the physical results, it hadn't made me a man. I remember feeling so stupid. I was like, even women have mastectomies, you know, for medical reasons. I'm like, this doesn't make me a man. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, it's because I still have all the female organs. Once I have all the female organs removed, then it will be real. So a couple of years later, I had all the female organs removed. And that still didn't make it real. And I was still struggling with this dysphoria, and it wasn't going away. And I was just still constantly aware of the fact that everybody around me believed that I was a man, and yet I knew that I was living this lie. And
even after all these physical changes, these operations and everything like that, there was still something deep inside of you that was saying that you're living a lie.
Right. Yeah, and it really became a mental hell because as I was, you know, like I would try to have a conversation with someone, and the entire time, all I was thinking was, do they know? Have they figured out that I'm trans? Because I was really, I wasn't openly transgender. I wanted to be a man and completely erase the existence of Laura. I wanted no memory of me being female. And so, you know, I was just, I remember like having to reinvent my childhood. It was like, wait a minute, I couldn't have been in Girl Scouts. I had to have been in Boy Scouts.
Football.
It had to be baseball, you know, and I would catch myself in these lies all the time. And I remember specifically one time I got caught in a huge lie about I was telling my boss that I worked with closely about my ex-boyfriend, and you know, I'm supposedly as far as she knew a straight man that was married to a woman. And which my partner was actually trans. We were both transgender. He was a man living as a woman, but you know, as far as she knew, I was a straight man married to a woman, and here I am talking about my ex-boyfriend. And I remember being so frustrated because I just realized that like this hadn't actually made me a man. Nothing I had done, and it couldn't erase the abuse. It couldn't erase all the bad memories. It couldn't erase all the pain of how I'd been treated as a girl. And all of that was still there. And I finally,
Laura, we've got to go to quick break. Let's pick it up from there. When we come back, we've got more from Laura Beth Perry, her book From Transgender to Transformed.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable.
Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us. For more information on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. Laura Perry is with us. We're talking about her book, Transgender to Transformed, and she's been sharing with us her story and the conflict of what initially started out as, you know, she thought she was making the right choice, but yet with each choice, she kept running into problems. It wasn't a total transformation psychologically. Yes, she could change certain aspects of her body, but something deeper down within the makeup of the real Laura Perry was still crying out for understanding. And it's interesting to hear, Laura, that here you are, you have a mate, and the partner you have does just the opposite of what you have. So in a sense, you're in a heterosexual relationship with somebody who's trans.
Right. Is that right? You know, and yeah, and the funny thing about it, God used it so much, even though this was not in a relationship that honored the Lord, you know, but at the same time, God used him, and he was like a mirror to me. I could see the truth in him that I couldn't yet see in myself, and it drove me crazy. I knew that he was just a man dressing in women's clothes. It was so obvious to me. And, you know, it's funny, now I have been, I've been studying on the differences between men and women and how God created every part of our body differently. And scientists have found over 6,500 differences biologically between men and women. You know, it's
right.
Like, and hormones and surgeries are not ever going to change all these differences. We are created completely differently. You know, but so at the time, I remember one day, being in this group of guys at work, and they all thought I was a man. They had no idea that I was trans, and yet there was something intangible that I could not put my finger on, but there was something that made me go, I'm not one of them. I didn't even know how to explain it, but I had this deep knowledge that I was just not one of them. And, you know, I was just sort of in this constant confusion, this constant mental battle inside of trying so hard to make this real, and yet it never was. But at the same time, it was still better than the pain I had faced as a female. And so I still didn't want God. I still didn't want to go back. But I was, you know, I was depressed a lot. And when I started looking into the genital reassignment, I was so angry because I'd never realized how bad those surgeries were and how fake it was going to be. And it just, I came to this crushing realization that it was never going to be real. and mm-hmm. absolutely devastated, and I was angry that no one had ever told me. But it was like, well, you know, this is the best life's ever going to get, and I was really depressed. But the Lord had been pursuing me this whole time, and slowly, little by little, I mean, it started with just little things. I remember praying about a job one time, you know, and I really wasn't living for the Lord at all. But
it's kind of, aren't we interesting people, though? I mean, yeah. We say on one hand, we hate God, want nothing to do, but then we'll pray to God.
Right, exactly.
And you don't have to be trans. This is what we all go through sometimes, you know. So it's interesting. Yeah. I appreciate your vulnerability. You're very honest this way. And I think it's going to be healing to other people to realize, yeah, but God is so into us that he doesn't, you know, cast us off, regardless of how we perceive things and how we go about, you know, believing that we're living the journey that we've been called to. He still, as you says, pursues us because he made a promise that very day and that time when he was in your mother's womb weaving you together. He made a promise to you. And that promise is something. God is not a promise breaker. He's a promise keeper, right?
Right. Yeah, and you know, it brings me to tears when I think about the journey and how God pursued me in this whole time. And, you know, my mom had asked me to make a website for her Bible study, and she didn't realize that I was going to read the lessons. My mom really had taken her hands off. She had tried to fix me for so long, and she realized that she couldn't. In fact, the Lord told her one day, Francine, only one of us is going to work on her. If you want to work on her, I'll go sit down. But if you want me to work on her, you go sit down, yes. You get in the Word, and you work on your relationship with me, and I will work on Laura. And that's a promise he made to her.
Yes.
But she just needed help with this website. And I wasn't a great web designer, but I knew enough. And so as I started to read the lessons, because I was going to summarize them for the website, God just began to reveal himself to me. And he began to show me that he was faithful, that he was trustworthy, and all these things I had never heard. I don't know how I missed it all growing up. All I knew was about God's rules and, like, this harsh tyrant, you know, and I just had never understood this side of God. And when about a year later, I gave my life to the Lord, and I got radically, radically saved. I was so transformed. I knew I was never going to be the same. I knew I was a new creature. I was so on fire for Jesus, but I thought I was going to be a man of God. And it's amazing to me. God saved me where I was at. I didn't have to fix myself, you know, but at the same time, he did not leave me there. And he began to pursue me and press on me even more. And he began to convict me. And he gave me such a hunger for his word. I was so hungry for his word. I was listening to some kind of audio Bible or Christian teaching all day long every day. And I was so hungry for the word. And he began to convict me more and more. You know, and people will try to twist this verse or that verse or say it really meant that. But when the Lord got a hold of me, the entire Bible was telling me that I couldn't be transgender. And I was under so much conviction, and one night he asked me, he said, if you stood before me tonight, what name would I call? And I said, oh, Lord, that's not fair. I said, I repented of this. I said, I'm sorry. You know I shouldn't have done this, but it's too late now. I'm legally male. I've had all these surgeries. I have facial hair. I have a job where I'm only known as male. Like, there's no way I can go back. He reminded me of John chapter 1, where it says Jesus Christ himself is the creator. And he said, you cannot claim to love me and yet reject my creation.
Right.
And I thought I was being condemned because there was no way I was going back to being female. It was just not even on my radar. It was not in the realm of possibility. But in the most loving voice I've ever heard in all my life, he whispered to me and he said, let me tell you who you are. And that's what began to free me, because it, you know, not immediately, but because I still didn't want to be a female. It's not like I went, oh, great, you know, but
at the same time,
there was something in that, that it tapped something so much deeper inside me, way past all my feelings and everything. And it was this calling to who I truly was. I mean, it's something we're all searching for, identity. You know,
Everyone
is desperate to know who they are and why they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this curiosity, but I didn't know how to fix it. But I was under so much conviction. I kept trying to figure out how I was going to fix this all so God would be okay with me, you know, and I just didn't understand his ways. And for about 2 months, I literally just begged the Lord with all my heart to take my life. I was miserable. He, after one night he hit me so hard with conviction and told me, you've got to get out of this. And he withdrew his presence from me. All of a sudden I couldn't hear him anymore. And there was such a tangible void and something was so profoundly missing. I was desperate to have him. And I just begged him to take my life. But instead, I pictured myself down in this deep, dark pit I couldn't get out of. I had no way to fix all this. And I began to cry out to him. I said, God, I cannot fix this. You know, and he reminded me of in Matthew 16 where it says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his own soul? And I had a clear vision of Jesus Christ getting down on one knee. He reached his hand down into this pit and he said, do you trust me?
Yeah.
And I knew he was literally just asking me to walk away from everything. Like yes, the disciples that were fishing, you know, just drop your nets and follow me.
Yes, right. You know? Yes. The thing that you're comfortable with, the thing that you know, drop it and follow me, right? Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, the one thing, I was like, Lord, you can have everything else, you know, but this is the one thing you wanted, like the rich young ruler, you know, one thing you lack because you're still holding on to what you want more than me. And so I literally, I don't even know how I had the faith. I'm sure there were so many people praying for me. Like, he had been building my faith over that year and a half, but I don't know how in the world I was able to walk away. But I gave him this little yes, and I said, okay, Lord. And I walked away from everything, from my partner, my job, that identity, and left it all behind. But, and I thought I was going
to
be...
Was that in an instant? We've got a couple of minutes left here.
Yeah.
Laura, did that happen quite rapidly? Was it an immediate kind of turn for you? Or was this, did this take several months to, in a sense, transition, you know, to this new life of faith? Because this, that's what you're living. You're living out your faith.
Yeah. The decision, I moved home in about 3 weeks. I moved home with my mom and dad. So that decision was fairly quickly, but it took, like, I thought I was going to be miserable the rest of my life and just sort of grit my teeth and bear it, you know, but I didn't know the transformation God was going to bring. He began to peel away the layers, and as I began to forgive my mom and all those that had hurt me, as he began to take out the bitter roots, and he began to just transform me from the inside out. And I had been blown away at what God has done in me. Honestly, I never thought I'd feel like a girl again. I didn't think I'd look like a girl again. This has been just so profoundly beyond what I could have ever imagined. It has been so worth everything the Lord asked of me that I thought was just absolutely going to kill me. I thought I'd rather die than do this. And yet when I gave him this little yes, he has absolutely transformed my life.
Laura Perry, thank you so much for your vulnerability, your transparency to share your story. You are healing so many and bringing, you know, those who have struggled like you with a lifestyle to find their true identity in Jesus Christ, who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Her book, Transgender to Transformed, will be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Laura, God bless. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay. In the where